Hey there, and thank you for joining us on another edition of the Designated Pundits. It's Major League Soccer Match Day 8, and we have some picks and predictions for you. Stay tuned as we run through a preview for Match Day 8 Major League Soccer. We got some great picks and predictions for you here on the Designated Pundits. Match Day 8. We are, yes, 8 weeks in the Major League Soccer season. The season is no longer young. We have a lot of information that's going to help us guide some better picks this week, hopefully. I'm Bob Vitamigli here with my co-host, Scott Omer. And today, our guest, Jose Nunez, is going to join us in making some picks. Jose, let us know where we can find your work, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I'm on Twitter. First and foremost, thank you for having me. Mainly most of my work, Twitter, Jose R. Nunez 91, pinned at the top of there. I also have a Substack. All year, it's going to be free. And then next year, as I toy around with this format and writing a little bit more, maybe turning to subscriber-only posts. But for now, everything you see on there will be free, pre, during, and post-match conferences, breakdowns, etc. So that's where you can find it. But I'm eager to talk about these picks, try to make people some money.
Let's get after it. Now, the picks we're going to talk about first, the New England Revolution hosting Charlotte FC. This was not originally on my betting scorecard. It was forced on there by one Caleb Porter, who promised a big win this weekend. New England Revolution, just to set the stage, was blown out at home 4-0 by Club America in the CONCACAF Champions Cup earlier this week. Caleb Porter needed a little zest, a little life to be brought into his team, and he did that in the form of saying on the radio that he guarantees a win this weekend. In response, coach of Charlotte FC gave one of the least convincing rebuttals I've ever heard, and he said, Dean Smith, you probably shouldn't say something that might not happen. Dean Smith should have come back out punching. That's what he should have done. He should have come out punching up. He had every opportunity. Did not take it. Took the more formal, the more politically correct approach. Who are we taking this week, guys? We got to talk about this game now.
Yeah, we do have to talk about this game. Look, here's what I'll add to this conversation. New England and Charlotte are two of the least clinical clubs in the league right now. Both have very, very negative expected goal differences. That's their actual goals, minus their expected goals. Anyway, they're both at -2 and -2.1 respectively. I think this is going to be entertaining. I don't think Caleb Porter like has any right to be promising anything from this team. Charlotte is really good at home. They're not as great on the road. I think they have major goal scoring issues. I kind of see this game ending in sort of an uninspiring draw, but I don't know, Jose, if you feel differently.
No, I totally agree. And this is coming from someone who had to watch the team that he covers and now taking my press hat off supports in the Philadelphia Union after being trounced against Pachuca 5-0, having to watch them scuttle around the field against Austin to a really uninspiring draw. So much like you, I'm thinking that all of this talk and trying to hype up his own team for Porter is nothing but a fart in the wind. I think maybe a 1-1 draw, maybe, depending on what the weather's like, because it's going to be on turf, maybe a little rain, get it a little wet. But other than that, I don't think I would put anything on this game whatsoever.
My pick is the New England Revolution at +115. I think they are going to do it this week. These things can go one way or another. This Club America game that they lost 4-0, it wasn't like they played for 90 minutes. They knew that they were out. They knew that they are now eliminated from the competition because they need to go to Mexico and win 5-0 to get a result. That's not going to happen. So I think New England is going to come out firing. They subbed out a lot of good players early, maybe 60 minutes into this game. So you have, for example, Hill has, 70 minutes on his legs. He'll be fine. I think they're going to come out swinging. I think that Charlotte is a team I'm going to pick on all season long. And I think that they're going to win this game. Charlotte, they try to press, but they make some mistakes. Some people don't necessarily agree. Someone's saying, great show, guys. Well, we just started. We still have plenty of time to mess that up. So thank you, Michael, for peeking in here. I'm taking New England Revolution in an easy win, +150. Let's move on now and go to games we actually wanted to talk about before an hour ago. LAFC is hosting the LA Galaxy this weekend. LAFC -150 heavy favorites, LA Galaxy +333. And I don't really know why. LA Galaxy top of the Western Conference, 3 wins, 3 draws, and 0 losses. While I'm sure they're happy having 12 points at this point in the season, the truth is, two of those games they could have, should have won. There were like situations where they got late red cards, conceded a late game tying goal. This team could be 5-1-0 right now, and they are playing. LAFC, on the other hand, 2-1-3. They lost 3-2 to Colorado in a barn burner last week. And, you know, while I think Chris Armas' Colorado has improved, that's not a game LAFC can lose and claim to be a Western Conference contender. They just can't let that happen. Rivalry match, so we throw a little bit of the odds, a little bit of the home field advantage out of the window. My pick here is going to be the LA Galaxy win or draw at +105. You can get the win, you can get the draw at even money. I just don't think that those odds are good enough. LAFC maybe 40% chance to win the match, but 60% chance it goes somewhere else. And, you know, it's just, it is so clear to me that LA Galaxy is the better team in this one. Can they bring it to their opponent? I think so. So I'm taking the LA.
Jose, what do you think about this one?
I'm going LA Galaxy, and here's why. I, much like Bob, remember the game against Miami FC, actually, with the stand-in referee who gave out a second yellow, which led to a red card, and then Miami and company going and getting a late equalizer. And I have a soft spot, John McCarthy, former Philadelphia Union player, played with the Bethlehem Steel before the turn into the Union 2. He also shared time actually at LAFC, come to think of it, and won the championship against the Union. So John McCarthy has had a great, great season so far, but I just don't know why +333, I think it was, right? That's unbelievable. I would say LA Galaxy win, actually. I would just outright say that they're going to win by at least one or two.
That +333 is like a 3-1 odds on LA Galaxy, the better team, winning a rivalry game that they should win. Scott, we just need your okay to get on board.
They absolutely should win this game. The one thing I'm going to add to this conversation is just that this should be one of the entertaining games of the season. And obviously, El Tráfico is always the entertaining game of the season. But these are two teams who are like relentless shooters. LAFC have 103 shots already this season. That is by far and away the most in the league. Both of them have, the LAFC and the LA Galaxy are tied for most shots on target this season. So these are two teams who are going to be going after it. They are going to be relentlessly going for goals. I think that the Galaxy have a higher functioning offense right now. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to give them the edge. But this is going to be one that you have to tune into. You have to watch, because it's going to be end to end. It's going to be great.
Gabriel Peck, can't turn away from that guy. He was fantastic at the pre-Olympic tournament for Brazil.
Yeah.
And he was. And he's, Pintzel, you know, brings the Vanny dream alive of having two great wingers with Pintzel on the other side. Fagundes, whenever he gets involved. I love LA Galaxy this season. I'm very pumped for this match. Let's move on now and look at match day 8 matchup between two Canadian teams who know each other quite well. Vancouver Whitecaps are hosting Toronto FC. My pick, of course, is going to be the Vancouver Whitecaps. Not great money, but you get them at -163 here. You know, historically, these teams are 9-5-9 in MLS competitions, exactly even when they face off each other. But this year, I just think Whitecaps have a massive advantage, so much so that I'll even pay up at -163. I usually don't like to bet under -150, but I think that this game is going to be a lock. Not only do I think the Whitecaps are the real deal this week, but Toronto lost Lorenzo Insigne. He will not be playing for a couple weeks now, and I think that's going to take a little of the heat out of Toronto, a little wind out of Toronto's sails, if you will. And I buy into Toronto this year. I think they are going to be the most improved team in Major League Soccer. Unfortunately, most improved for Toronto still means losing a lot of soccer games. And that's exactly what I think is going to happen. John Herman is doing a great job with this team. But Lorenzo Insigne, he is that guy. He's got to be the spark. When you take that spark away, I think Vancouver at home, talking about an East Coast team going to West Coast, all the writing's on the wall here. I think Vancouver takes a -160.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think this really is a lock for Vancouver. Some interesting things to watch in this game. Vancouver actually generate one of the fewest like numbers, just raw numbers of chances in the league. but they have like a +4 expected goal difference. They are incredibly efficient. When they get chances, they score. So, you know, don't look for Vancouver to just be like peppering the goal. That's really not their style. The other thing to watch in this game is just watch the Toronto body language. This is really a big test for how healthy that team's mindset is, how much healing has John Hergman been able to do so far in that locker room. Last year, when they started to lose, they would get down on themselves. They'd give up on games. This is really going to be a test of this team through these like next six-ish weeks to see how they deal with the adversity, how they deal with maybe losing a couple of games, and how kind of mentally strong and resilient they are, and if they're able to make teams work for these wins. Anyway, that's what I think about this.
I go along. Vancouver, I think, gets the win here. I believe Brian White coming back from concussion protocol, that should help him. And Fafa Picot had an amazing game last week, got himself into the match team of the match week, number 7, I think. Yeah, number 7. So I think Fafa is going to have another great week and continue to solidify why he should have stuck around in Nashville and get him a win. It doesn't hurt to get some of those bodies back for sure.
Absolutely, I agree. And if we look at down the Toronto roster, they are short just about everyone. They had Jonathan Osorio playing as a forward. just not good stuff up and down on this roster. They were a little thin anyway. You know, maybe Marshall Ruddy, Davey Flores need to step up a little bit. This is a team, again, I like them. I will be betting on Toronto a little later in the season. Just not right now, not without them. Speaking of not without their star, when you talk about the Nashville SC, they are not doing it this year. They're hosting the Philadelphia Union this week. After their first 5 matches, including US Open Cup, Nashville SC's defense allowed only 3 goals in 5 matches. That's what we expected. However, they've had some injury. Walker Zimmerman's out, Shaq Moore's out. That's a huge deal for not only the defense, but for this whole team whose strength is the defense. We always talk about Nashville. They're a defensive team. They're lacking some of that top-tier talent up front. Well, let me tell you about the last few games. Over the last 4 games, Nashville's allowed 10 goals. Opponents to score 10 times over 4 matches. That is the opposite of what we expect from Nashville going through this season, and a lot of it has to do with these injuries. Now, on the Philadelphia side, they are scoring in bunches. In fact, their +4 goal differential is tied for 5th in Major League Soccer. You have Gazdag and Carranza already scoring 3 each. Urah with 2 goals and 1 assist. And why that's most impressive is because none of them have played 4 full games this season. They are a team that's been rotating heavily. That rotation, I believe, is over. I think they're going to just put the pedal to the metal and look to blow out some opponents here. They are +180. And their team total, 1.5 goals, is +150. I'm taking both of those. I think Philadelphia scores twice in this match, and I think Philadelphia wins. You're getting like +330 if both of those things happen. I think that they are both likely on a Nashville team who is going to get better later on in the season, but certainly not in this.
Jose, do you want to take this one?
I can hop on. I agree. Another stat that makes it even more interesting in terms of both sides of the equation. Andre Blake still not fully clear from the concussion protocol. Jim Curtin told us today during the press conference. We'll find out more tomorrow towards game time. Doesn't mean that he's not going to play. Still waiting for testing. That's going to happen tomorrow. Another thing that's really interesting, Nashville has not had a clean sheet in 7 games. Last time that they had a clean sheet was February 28th against Mocha FC in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So I actually think that this game is going to be another Julian Carranza coming out party and maybe putting a hat trick, continuing to solidify his case for making or getting himself a blank check from anyone in the MLS, let alone negotiating his way out in July when he can negotiate without the team's consent.
Love it. Okay, so we're all taking, well, I guess I got to ask Scott. Scott, are we all taking Philadelphia this week?
Yeah, but I'm not fully convinced on it. This is the game that I felt the worst about of everything that you put on here. There's something about Philly this season that isn't convincing me. It's the way they're getting things done feels very by the seat of their pants, if that makes sense. Little haphazard. When they're winning games, they're leaving teams in it, allowing teams to continue to compete. Somebody's going to take that opportunity. And then, you know, they started off with a whole bunch of draws in league play.
They started out with three draws. They've won two games since then.
Mm-hmm.
Both wins they've won since then have been by two goals. So they are getting results.
But the Portland defense is terrible. They haven't kept clean sheets for anything. And the Minnesota game, you know, those two goals were a bit fluky. And one of them came really late.
You mean right? You don't defend on crosses and it's okay?
Yeah. So there's something about it. The score lines, I think, are flattering a little bit to Philadelphia. There's something about that Philadelphia group that is not fully convincing. They should be kind of rolling teams and winning more comfortably than them. And the games are in the balance still. And when Hanny Mukhtar is on the field, I know he hasn't done a lot this season, but he's still an incredible player. And that guy can still make stuff happen. So this is one of those games where I'm like, boy, if Philadelphia doesn't clean it up a little bit, and if they don't dominate a little bit more, and if they aren't a little more convincing, this is one that Nashville could suddenly be in the game late and steal something. And that's what kind of like makes me hesitate a little bit. But I'm with you though. I think they get it. But it worries me.
That makes complete sense. Let's finish up with the last official match we're going to talk about today, and that is St. Louis City hosting F Dallas. St. Louis City has been great at home since their entrance in Major League Soccer, and I do think they beat Dallas this week. The odds are minus 125, which just shows that a lot of people really agree with what I'm saying here. St. Louis, they're a better team than Dallas this season. I truly believe that. But this is one where we don't even get the full Dallas squad. We saw what happened at the beginning of last week. There were five starters who were not able to play. We can include them again this week. Jesus Ferreira, Iarramendi, Giovanni Jesus, Paxton Pomacall, he's out for the season, Alan Velasco. We don't know how many of them are going to be out, but we know that that's not inspiring confidence in anyone, the fact that a lot of these guys are going to miss another match. St. Louis City has had a difficult start to the 2024 season, going 1-4-1, four draws, one win, loss. However, they have a nice span. Four matches of their next six are at home, where they need to win. This team, if they want to compete in the Western Conference, they need to beat up on a Dallas team that's showing up with half the squad. And I think they do. I think minus 125 is a safe number for this pick. Again, if it was minus 150, 160, like the Vancouver game, probably not on it. But you're getting really close to even money here. I really like St. Louis City.
I love St. Louis right now. Actually, they're one of my favorite teams to watch. I think they've actually been better than their results would suggest. I think they're actually playing fairly well. They've had a few rough, you know, spots here and there. But for the most part, this is still a very high-functioning team with some very high-functioning players. They're going to continue to get better. They're going to work out a few of the dynamic things around the forward spot. But there's some things I really like about this. I think it's Dallas basically have only scored one goal a game, except for their season opener against San Jose, where they scored twice. So this is not a Dallas team that has been especially prolific. They're good for a goal a game, but that's kind of not enough to get wins. So if St. Louis City is on the gas for most of this game, St. Louis City gets two goals, that's a win.
Yeah, I would agree with St. Louis being the pick here. They just went through the Chicho Arango show, letting him get a hat trick, and they haven't actually won since, what was it, New York City 2-0. So one win, three draws, one loss in their last five. So I think they're due for a win and maybe a Joao Klaus hat trick or maybe a brace to kind of propel them along to get a win here.
Now, we found out right before we actually went on the air that Leuven is probably not going to be playing this week. He will not be playing this week. Doesn't really change anything for me. While I think he is a big contributor in net, you know, you saw Chris Durkin last week played pretty poorly, had the ball at his feet, had the energy, had everything except, you know, maybe that final pass last week. So I really like St. Louis City here. Even with Leuven, that's not some news we're getting after the fact. That's some news we already have. I think when he comes back, this is a much, much better team. I think it should be minus 180, you know, if this is without injury. This team has got to settle in. They got to settle in. And this is actually my least confident pick, to be honest, here with St. Louis City, just because so many things haven't gone right yet. Are they who we think they are? Yes. They got to straighten it out and got to straighten it out. Gentlemen, I entered the chat and pulled up a couple things that some of the listeners have been dropping on us. And there's a couple of really good picks that I really want to get into. Are there any other picks you'd like to talk about first? Any other matchups here?
No, let's go with the chat.
So as for Vancouver Whitecaps, plus 1.5 goals, minus 117, very close to even money that they can score two on Toronto FC. Is that likely? If we think they're going to win by that much, I guess we kind of have to like that. Toronto's actually only given up 5 goals in 6 matches, which is, I think, one of the best in Major League Soccer. I think that's a little bit of a fluke. I like Toronto to improve. I don't think they're going to be the best defense in Major League Soccer. Are we going 1.5 goals for minus 117?
I think yes. And I'm not saying that to be disparaging of Toronto's defense, because I actually think they've been quite good. I think they are quite good. I don't think they're going to be the type of defense that gives up lots of goals to most teams most weeks. But I think that is more a show of confidence in Vancouver's efficiency. I think that when Vancouver get in front of goal, they are not going to waste those opportunities. And I think, yeah, 2 goals, go for it.
Fafa Picot, I'm telling you, that speed and that finish, I think, again, after that match this past week and getting Mr. White back, hard to say no to that, to those odds.
Love it. And the next one I am all over. This is a game I really wanted to bet on, and I will bet on my own, but it's not necessarily something I'm advising other people to do. That's FC Cincinnati hosting New York Red Bull. This is a rematch from the playoff series last year, which was really chippy. Red Bull showed that their system can beat Cincinnati, but they didn't have the players at the time to do it. So I do think Red Bull has the better system. I think that they're going to come out swinging against FC Cincinnati. You have Tolkien, who's going to be back in this game. You do have, after a little bit of drama, Emil Forsberg returning. He will be available. Lewis Morgan and Dante Van Zier, who were not playing in that series. So New York Red Bull lost to Cincinnati in 2 legs of the playoff last year. It was chippy. There were fights. There was a lot of things going on that field. This year, they run it back, but this time with Lewis Morgan, this time with Dante Van Zier. That's 2 forwards they didn't have last year. And Emil Forsberg, a league beater at the number 10 position. He's going to be one of the best players there this season. Is that enough to put them above Cincinnati this
week? Well, one thing to remember is that Cincinnati is missing their goalkeeper. Confirmed this morning that Calentano, he's out. Mm-hmm. So something to remember. And another thing is that last year it was Troy Lesane, New York Red Bull. So a slightly different type of to work rate and formation and press. But man, it's hard to say no to the Red Bulls right now with what's going on with Lewis Morgan and Van Zier and how well they're clicking. Hard to say no to New York winning that.
I give a big edge to New York on this. And a big part of that is that Cincinnati is so inefficient right now. Their defense is still pretty good, but I thought that Charlotte made them look very uncomfortable with like simple balls over the top. That's not a good look. The other thing is like the offense for Cincinnati. If Lucho Acosta doesn't do it, who is going to do it? Bupenza has gotten some of his goals this season, and that's been fine. But like this last week against Charlotte, they needed like kind of a miracle play, and they needed
Brandon Vasquez back on the team, and they have Corey Baird.
He's not doing it, and you can see that his chemistry with Acosta is not there. They're not clicking, and Corey Baird has not been that great in front of goal this season. And it's like, you're not going to get DeAndre Yedlin making like an 80-yard run up the side so that he can flick the ball back into the middle of the box for Pupenza to score a sitter every week to rescue a point, you know? This is a team that is winning games 1-0 right now, and the Red Bulls, I feel very confident in saying the Red Bulls are at least going to get a goal. So why not 2 goals? And if Cincinnati can only score 1, and they can only score 1 against worse defenses, boy, that's not very hopeful for Cincinnati.
I really like what you guys are saying here. Now, Red Bull plus 250, I'm going to sprinkle that in my own. I would never tell anyone else to take that just because you are in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is still Shield competitor. They are still a very
Eastern
very good
Conference
team.
Competitor. Big way.
It's a Pat Noonan team. You can't discount them in any way, shape, or form. That Pat Noonan has that team coached so well, regardless of who's here and who's not. You got to remember, this is a team that's still doing well despite having to loan out Alvaro Barreal.
Yeah, I agree there. But Red Bulls under Sandro Schwartz have been a different team. They've been more electric. They play a more mature press. It's not just run at the guy who has the ball. They're steering other teams into doing what they like. So, for example, in the past where it would just be like, this guy's ball, run right at him. Now they're covering guys and leaving other players open. So they're saying, you can have the ball, but you can pass to that guy and not to these other two guys. And I think that that is going to help with Cincinnati. Like, they're going to shut down Bupenza. They're going to foul Acosta probably 45 different times. And the Yedlin isn't going to be a problem because I think they're going to look to shut that lane down. So I think they do have a little bit more of an edge here. The bet here is actually not Red Bull to win or Red Bull to win or draw. It's actually both teams to score at minus 125. That's the one that was given in our chat, and that's the one I definitely want to be looking at this weekend. I think Cincinnati and Red Bull, they both have good enough offenses to get something done. This is going to be a face-punch game. This is going to be chippy, but it's going to be more fluid than last year. When they played, there was a whistle on a ball being out of bounds or a foul every 30 seconds. It was ridiculous the amount of fouling that was going on.
Not like field hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, but you got guys now like Emil Forsberg who can lay that pass on. Like, you know what, Maya, who's been really good under pressure this year. I just really think that Red Bull is going to be able to open this team up. They have, again, three new offensive players they didn't have last year when they, you know, lost two very competitive games. I can't wait to watch, and I'm taking two to score, minus 125.
Yeah.
That sound?
I'll buy it.
Okay, with that, can we sound off?
Yeah.
Let's get out of here, gentlemen. Make sure to go to thedesignatedpundits.com. You can find us youtube.com/thedesignatedpundits or just search The Designated Pundits on your favorite podcast app to get our stuff. Thank you one more time to Jose Nunez. His second appearance on IE Sports did a great team preview earlier, and I know he's stretching his schedule out to make it work. So thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone else for tuning in to The Designated Pundits. Have a great weekend, and let's go to Twitter and see what the results are. Have a great